Do we have any children in the house? We'll release our children for children's ministry. Celebrate them as they go. Hallelujah. I just look to see if they're smiling. We want to make sure they're enjoying themselves, not just here because they have to be. Amen? Same thing I do with you, but I try not to make it too obvious. So everybody look at me and smile. Look at the person next to you and say, "You look just like dirt." That'll make sense here in a minute. Mark chapter 4. We've been talking about sowing and reaping. If you look at the flags that are hanging along the walls, this represents the harvest.
Amen.
Father God said in the book of Psalms, "Ask of me and I will give you the nations." And because of the missionaries that we support, the people that we're backing as they go out into the mission field, each of these flags represents souls that are being harvested for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So, Troy, can you tell them which flags are which? Okay, that's all I wanted to know. There will be a quiz, Troy. But the funny part is that some of these flags, if you're looking at them, they represent countries that we don't talk about much because we can't talk about our missionaries going into some of these countries, going into Iraq, into Afghanistan, into Iran. We can't talk about that very much because if word gets out, they're in trouble. They're in danger of losing their lives. But these are the nations we are reaching through the missionaries that we support. So thank God for those who are reaching out to the Palestinians, those who are reaching out to the people of Israel, those who are reaching out to the nations around the world, and those who are reaching out to Bedford County.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Not excited about that, huh? We're reaching Bedford County.
That's right.
Because Jesus Christ is Lord. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. It's the parable of the sower. He says, "And he taught them many things by parables. And he said to them in his teachings, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because there was no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Amen. God's Word gives us the insight that we need to know what's going on around us. Let's face it. Look at the person next to you and be honest. I'm just dirt. Amen? And without God, I'm nothing. But it's amazing what God can do with a little bit of dirt.
That's right.
In the beginning, the Bible says in the book of Genesis, He took and He gathered that dirt together. God made mud pies. Come on. That's what He did, right? He brought the dirt together. He made it into a sculpture. I've seen little kids do this all the time. Guess what this is? I have no clue. It looks like dirt to me. And in God's imagination, He saw not just Adam. He saw all of mankind. He saw you when He was building that very first man.
Amen.
And the Bible says that man was nothing. That man had no life. That man was just dirt until God breathed into him. And it's the same for us. We really don't have any value. We really don't have any power. We don't have the ability to do anything until the breath of God breathes in us the life of God. And when it does, there's nothing we cannot do. In Christ, all things are possible. I can do anything in Christ. But in the meantime, I need to also remember, I'm just dirt. Amen? And as we look at this, it says there are different kinds of dirt, and we've talked about this for weeks now, but it's important to remember that there are different kinds of dirt. There is that hard pack. The experience of the world has made it impossible for the seed to get in, because every time they hear the word, they go, yeah, that's not how I see it. That's not how I've experienced it. That my experience says that that's not the way it works. I was talking to somebody here not too long ago, and we were talking about tithing, and they said, well, tithing doesn't work. And I said, yeah, it does. And they said, no, I've tried it. It didn't work. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but that's not how it works. Tithing is something we do out of love by faith. And when we do it out of love by faith, it works. I can prove it. I have the bookkeeping to prove it. My favorite was the day that I walked in and paid $3,000 worth of bills for $1,500. I still don't know how I did it, except that God's good.
Amen.
God's good. I don't mind driving a car that lasts forever. I like being able to trade when I want to, not when I have to. And when you get something you really like, why not hang on to it? Knowing that as a tither, the devourer will be rebuked for your sake.
Great.
Come on.
Amen.
The word tells us that also in this parable of the sower, there was stony ground. And the stony ground, when we talk about it, stony ground is good ground with some hard spots in it. There are things in life that cause people not to receive in certain areas. Some people can't receive an area of healing. They've had so many physical things go on in their life. They've had so much experience with sickness and disease that they really can't receive the word for healing. And they just can't get past what they have experienced. It's a rock. It's in their life and it needs some special attention. Rocks need to be thrown out. They need to be removed, so that you can have good ground all the way through. But sometimes it just doesn't work that way. Sometimes people just can't get past the things that they've experienced. We love them anyhow, amen? Because they're just dirt, just like us. And the only difference between them and us is the Holy Ghost. I can't take any credit for anything that works in my life. To be honest, I can't take any credit for anything that works in my life, because I tried it on my own and it didn't work. If it was up to me, I wouldn't be married today, because my wife will tell you, I can be hard to get along with. I expected an amen, but she didn't.
Amen.
Always know who your friends are. And then it talks about the thorny ground. Oh, man. Thorny ground. Thorny ground is very fruitful. It's very fruitful. The problem is, there hasn't been discernment about what's allowed to come in. Seeds fly around all the time. There's all kinds of seeds. But if we don't let the gardener tend us, if we don't let him remove the weeds from our lives, then we end up with a mess. I was driving past somebody's garden the other day, and I went, boy, we can tell we're getting to the end of the year. You can't see where any of the fruit was. All that's left is weeds. Somebody quit tending the garden. As we look at our lives, if we're going to see fruit all the way to the end, we've got to tend it all the way to the end. We've got to be faithful all the way to the end. We've got to keep on keeping on. We've got to be good ground all the way to the end. Why does some produce 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100? It's all about whether or not we're letting ourselves be tended properly. The Word of God tells us that God sows the same seed for everyone. Everybody gets the same opportunity. To every man is given the measure of faith. It's an equal starting point. We all get an equal start. It's what we do with it from there that makes the difference. Everybody poke the person next to you and say, you're just dirt with a little bit of help until you grow. Amen? In Joel chapter 2, the Spirit of God is speaking on our behalf and says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Everybody gets a shot at being part of what God's doing. It's up to us whether or not we cooperate. So let's cooperate, amen? How many of you here are a son or a daughter? That means you get to prophesy. Speak out. Amen?
Amen.
Declare and decree what God is saying, what God is doing in the earth. We get to speak it out. And the authority in the kingdom of God comes through the spoken word. In the beginning, God said, and it came to be. When God said, light be, what happened? There was light. When God spoke, it just came to pass. And we were created in His image. We were created to speak. We were created to speak with authority. We were created to speak in a way that causes things to happen. And whether you believe it or not, you speak and things happen. You either agree with God's plan and purpose, or you agree with the flesh, or you agree with the enemy's plan and purpose. The question is, which one have you been agreeing with? Well, I can tell you, I can spend about a day with you and know which one it is you've been agreeing with. Because it'll be revealed by what comes out of your mouth. The wise man keeps his mouth shut most of the time. Amen? Sometimes we just need to shut up. Did she hit you when I said that, Sam? I thought so. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And we talk about being good ground and not everybody gets the same results. But Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 really gives us the key to that. Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 5 says, my son, if... Everybody say if.
If.
If you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That's a big if-then statement there. You don't get the then part till you do the if part. If you will receive, if you will treasure, if you will incline your ear, if you will apply yourself, we have to work at it. Well, but I'm just dirt. Yeah, you are. How many of you know that a seed in dirt draws from the dirt what it needs to be what it's called to be? So it's time we supplied the seed with what it needs, and what God calls that is faith, so that it will produce the fruit. Different grounds getting different results. What kind of ground are you? As we measure ourselves, and I'm going to tell you right now, don't anybody sit here and point at Tyler and say, well, this is talking about Tyler. Don't point at Lindsay and say, this is talking about Lindsay. Right? Who is it that we need to evaluate?
Ourselves.
So poke yourself and say, hey, dirt, get with it. We measure ourselves as to whether or not we measure up. Maybe you've already seen that in your life there are things that are not working. You've heard the word and you know what the word says is supposed to be happening, but it's not happening. You need to measure yourself against the word and say, okay, is there a hard spot that I'm not receiving? Then I need to go to God and find out how to get that changed. Is there thorny ground? I need some weeding done. I need to submit myself to the gardener. Then do it. Because there's nothing about the word that works unless we do it. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Amen?
Amen?
In John chapter 1, it talks about Jesus coming as the word. It says, and his own received him not. These are people who had the word. They're the ones who gave us the word. These are people who knew what the Bible said as far as the prophetic utterance about the Messiah coming. They knew it. And then when he came, they went, that's not him. Even if it is him, we don't want him. We need to be careful about pointing fingers because, you know, we could be in the same boat. We could be looking at Jesus ourselves and rejecting him if we're not careful. Because he doesn't conform to the image that we think he should be conformed to. He doesn't look quite like we think he ought to look like. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I told you to do. If you love me, do the things for the people that I told you to do them for. Amen? Because as often as you've done it for the least of these, my brethren, you've done it for me. Well, those teenagers. Adults forget that they used to be teenagers. They forget that they were rotten too. That they were rebellious and disobedient. That they were mischievous. Stop pointing fingers, Tyler.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 13, verse 23 says, much food is in the tillage of the poor. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. But there is that is destroyed for want of discernment. They got all kinds of food, but lack of discernment keeps them from enjoying it. They work hard. How many of you know there are a lot of people out there who work really hard and never, ever, ever seem to be able to make ends meet? There's a lack of good judgment, a lack of good discernment that keeps them from being able to take their work and convert it into fruit. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. Who does the plowing? According to Hosea, we're doing the plowing. We're stirring up our fallow ground. We're not letting the ground go unsown. We're getting the Word into us. Well, you know, I only have so much time. I don't see that as an excuse that flies very far. How many of you here have time for recreation? Recreation, you know, those things that you don't have to do, but you choose to do. Anybody here go fishing once in a while? How about hunting season's coming? Anybody plan on doing a little hunting? And we find time to sight in the rifles, and we find time to scout out the territory, and we find time to put up the game cameras. Now you're just going to take advantage of somebody else doing that for you, Tyler? It's all luck. How many have you killed? One. In how many years? Some 30, some 60, some 100 fold, based on the investment and diligence that we. But I'm not pointing fingers. You know, we do find time to do the things that are important to us. Amen? I'm not saying that to bring condemnation on anybody, because guilty as charged. I can find time to do the things that I want to do. The question is, will I make it a point to do the things that He wants me to do? Now, I'm not telling you that you need to sit around and read your Bible for 3 hours a day. I don't know about you, but I'd be bored to tears. I remember in high school, I had a friend who was a weightlifter. And he got to be really good at it. Matter of fact, later on became a professional weightlifter, bodybuilder. And I used to think that he was absolutely out of his mind. Why would anybody spend that much time doing work that resulted in nothing but bigger muscles? It didn't make any sense to me. You see, I worked on a farm, so I was throwing around 200-pound feed sacks and hay bales and those kind of things. But at the end of the day, I had to accomplish something. I had something to show for the work that I'd done. And I got bigger muscles as a result of that. I never did get big muscles because I was just a little wimpy guy to start with. But the fact of the matter is, if I'm going to work, I want it to have something to show for it at the end of the day. If I'm going to shovel stone, I want there to be a driveway or a sidewalk when I'm done. I don't want to be moving this pile of stone over here so that I can move this pile of stone back over here so I can move this pile of stone over here. No, I'm sorry, I'm not that guy. the end of the day, I want fruit from my labors. Here it says, sow for yourselves righteousness. That's right standing with God. Reap mercy. Break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. Maybe the frustration of dealing with the stones and the thorns and the work has got you slowed down to the point of almost giving up. There are people who give up every day. Let me tell you something that my pastor shared with me years and years and years ago. He said, the secret to success is keep on farming. If you're going to grow something, you're going to have to keep on working at it. This year's crop may not be good. Plant again next year. Figure out what you did wrong. Make corrections. Plant again. Keep doing it till you get it right. And when you find out what works, work it. Amen? We need to invest ourselves if we want to see fruitful results. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 through 30. We've got those hard spots, but God has given us a cure. And the cure is Him. Ezekiel 36, 26 through 30 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you will dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees, the increase of your fields, so that you never, never, never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. What do you do with the word that God speaks to you? See, the word that you've heard is enough to produce miraculous results. This stack of papers here represents the last 3 years of sermons that I've preached. That's a lot of word. A lot of word. The Bible says faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by?
The Word of God.
See, over the next 10 years, this stack is going to be way up. I'm going to keep on preaching the Word. I'm going to keep on saying what God says. I'm going to keep on imparting every chance I get as much Word into you as I possibly can. Because the Word works. The Word always works. And there's an answer in the Word for everything that we are challenged with. If you're challenged with sickness and disease, there's a word of healing for you. If you're challenged with poverty and lack, there's a word of prosperity for you. If you're challenged with the grief that comes with life, it doesn't have to be somebody dying. There's grief that comes with life. Just living life every day, there's challenges that are presented to you. There's a word of peace for you. Amen?
Amen.
The question is, when we hear the word, what do we do with it? Do we take it to heart? Do we apply it to our lives? Do we make it work in us, knowing that God never lies? How many of you know that God said, I am the Lord who heals you?
That's
right. Amen? And if He said, I am the Lord who heals you, then healing is available to us. If healing is available to us, what does it take to walk in it? Believe it, receive it, speak it. Believe it, receive it, speak it. Well, the doctor says, that's not the word. If you're going to say what the doctor says, you better counter it with, but the word says, I'm healed. The word says, I am healed. Amen?
Amen?
Well, but not everybody gets healed. I agree. That sounds like a hard spot, a rocky spot, because the word hasn't changed. He's still the Lord who heals us. Jesus still took stripes for our healing. It's still the truth. We are healed. Amen? The question I have to answer then is, okay, why is that not working for me? And find out what it takes to get it to work. And it may be I need to change what I'm saying. It may need I need to change my diet. It may need I need to change my exercise regimen. I was sitting around one day and I went, I just feel sluggish and tired and I just feel like I'm getting old. My son piped up and said, well, that's because you are. And I said, no, there's something's not right. I started to pray about it, and the Lord said, well, you know, when you sit at a desk as much time as you do and you don't get any exercise, you should expect to feel that way. And I went, okay, I've been spanked, now let's go do something about it. And I remember I got up and I started going out and doing some walking, and it wasn't very long, I started feeling good again. And next thing you know, I felt like, man, I can do this every day. And I actually enjoyed the walk and enjoyed being outside. And then I remember coming back and thinking, I got to go back and sit at my desk again. But I still have to sit at my desk. But I need to bring balance to that if I'm going to be healthy. Because if I sit at my desk and eat Twinkies and Ho-Hos and Swiss cake rolls and don't go out and do some exercise, I'm going to be looking like the Pillsbury Doughboy and probably feeling like him too. Fat, dumb, and happy, yes. Larry's up here picking on me now. But the fact of the matter is, I've got to do what he tells me to do the way that he tells me to do it. I may need to change my diet. It may mean I have to eat smaller portions. It may mean I need to eat more vegetables. It may mean I need to eat more meat. I don't know what it's going to be until he tells me. But when he tells me, I'm going to do it. Amen. And when he tells me and I do it, I get results. The one I've really struggled with is drink more water. I haven't quite gotten that one working yet. Water's boring. That's for me, water's boring. Give me a little flavor. But just about everything you flavor it with then has other side effects that go with the flavoring. And you know, good old iced tea is not as good for you as water. Lemon juice has its drawbacks. Changes the effects of the water going through your body. So I'm still working on it. So I expect that God's still working on you, and he's still working on you. But there's a reason for that, you know. I'm dirt. Dirt is not real bright. And I don't mind admitting I'm dirt. And there are times when I'm not real bright. Amen? Mm-hmm. Can you say that? Can you just be honest and say I'm dirt? I was waiting for somebody to say, yeah, you're dirt. We just need to understand that we need God's help. If we're going to do this, we need God's help. It's God who sows into us. But he's not the only one who's sowing. The enemy's out there sowing too. And the thorns, the weeds, come whether you plant them or not. Amen? How many of you planted weeds this year? I know that's not true. Some of you did. Yeah, we call them flowers. You know, black-eyed Susans are nice weeds. Yeah? Daisies? Nice weeds. They look really pretty, but not in the potato patch. Right? And I don't know what God had in mind when he created pigweed. I don't know of anything that it's good for. Thistle? I mean, come on. What are you going to do with thistle? Milkweed? How many of you have a nice crop of milkweed this year? What are you going to do with that? Dana's sowing it. Larry, you're showing your age. But the good ground continues to produce good fruits. Amen? We work against what the enemy's bringing against us. We bring an end, we face the weeds and we pull them. But we have to yield ourselves as well. When we are producing fruit, we have to yield ourselves to the master's hand. How many of you grew tomatoes this year? How many of you know that there are some things you can do to tomatoes that make them produce even more? If you take all of the little feeder branches off so that it's not wasting food to stuff that doesn't produce, you get more. You get bigger, better fruit. Pruning. When did you ever see an apple tree that waved its branches and said, "Here, prune me. Here, prune me." Anybody have berries? Raspberries, blackberries. The end of the year, what do you do with them? You mow them off. I mean, cut them right down to nothing. So that the new ones the next year will be even better. Right? Rose bushes. How many of you like roses? What do you have to do to them at the end of the year? Cut them way back. Matter of fact, when people prune roses, I often look at it and think, that poor thing. They killed it. And then come next year, here come the roses. I've got one out back of my house, and I've cut that thing back so far, so many times, that I think, finally, this year we'll kill it. Well, see, then I can replace it with something I like. But each year it comes back bigger than the year before. I'm either going to have to pull it out altogether or quit pruning it. But the fact of the matter is, pruning is a good thing. But I'm willing to bet that if you could listen to that plant, when the pruning takes place, you'd hear, ouch, 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 oh, ow, ooh, ah, ah. Because pruning, I don't think, really looks like fun on the receiving end. I've watched my wife go at something with the loppers and thought, well, she's enjoying that a whole lot more than that tree is. But pruning is necessary for healthy living. I have a friend who worked in an orchard, and his job was to prune the apple trees. And we had an apple tree in our backyard. He said, look, I'll come down and I'll prune that thing for you. He said, you'll get some apples. He said, because what you have right now is a piece of junk. And I said, okay. And he came down and he pruned it for us. And when he was done, I thought he liked me. Look what he did to my tree. And the following year, we had so many apples, it broke the tree. Pruning is a good thing. We need to make sure that we let God prune us. Jesus said that every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it bears more fruit. Are you letting him prune you today? If you're going to produce the fruit that God intends, you have to allow him to prune you. The word you've already received is going to change your life forever if you'll receive it, if you'll believe it, if you'll let it work in you and learn how to make it work in your life. You may be just dirt, but God sees what you're capable of. God sees that you have the capability of being turned into an edifice that brings glory to Him. A temple that rises and causes God to be glorified. God knows what you're capable of. He knows what He's capable of in you. And if you give Him a chance, the destiny that lies before you will become a reality. And you will be a glory to God in heaven. So we've been talking about sowing and reaping. We've been talking about what you do with the word that you've received. Let me just give you this one more promise. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows generously will reap generously. God is the one doing the sowing. Do you think He sows sparingly or do you think He sows generously?
Generously.
The Bible talks about wisdom, says that He gives wisdom liberally. Everybody say too much. God oversows. He oversows all the time because He knows it doesn't all produce. And in His oversowing, He's expecting a generous return for His sowing. He's expecting a huge harvest. He's expecting an abundance to come in to His kingdom as a result of what He's sown. Let's be part of that abundance. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you will join me and say, I'm dirt? and I'm going to be part of the harvest. Fruitful in every way. In Jesus' name. Amen.